Blog Talk Radio.
I'm your host, Merle Exit. Well, it's Friday, but not Friday night. It's like 2:30 in the afternoon here, and it's a nice, gorgeous day outside. It's sunny. The snow melted, but unfortunately, there's no flooding over here. And it may be Friday the 13th, but we're lucky because we got some good stuff today. Good music. When it comes to classical music composers, the names of men such as Bach and Mozart, you know, they come to mind. And I mean, are there any women who have done some compositions? Well, New York composer Deborah Kay has honed her craft collaborating with musicians of Manhattan's dynamic new music community. So Deborah will talk about her debut album called And So It Begins, as we will feature a few of her pieces. And then after that, Spencer Day will be featured in a show that's taking place here in Queens, along with the Queens Symphony Orchestra. And it'll be an evening of Frank Sinatra. Doesn't mean that he looks like him, sounds like him, but we'll hear about his jazz singing career. But first, yes, there's a message from our sponsor, you know.
What would you do to earn brownie points? How about treating someone to what may be the best brownies they've ever tasted? Fairy Tale Brownies. They may seem like one of the richest bars of fudge, with varieties that include caramel, chocolate chip, espresso nib, raspberry swirl, mint chocolate, all made with Calbo dark Belgian chocolate. But yes, they are brownies, and that's no fairy tale.
Oh, yes, and you can get these absolutely wonderful brownies at www.brownies.com. I just finished eating one of the brownies. Well, I'm craving a glass of milk, but it'll have to wait. So, Deborah,
I'm here. Hi, Merle.
How you doing? Do you think should I like? I'm looking at like play your song "Visions" so people can get a
sure.
Sense. Okay, let's do that. And this is a shorty.
Thank you.
I guess it ended at that point.
Yeah, that's the first one. They're okay. Short ephemera in a way. Shall I just talk about that one a little bit?
Oh, yeah, go ahead. Tell us. Yes.
Okay. So that really is inspired by being in Taos, New Mexico. I had a residency there for 3 months, and the very first night that I was there, I was just enchanted, and I woke up at 4 a.m. and I went to the window, and it was full of stars. You know, and coming from New York City and just seeing, you know, these diamonds in the sky is what they looked like. And I sat at the piano and improvised what would later become this first short piece. The exquisite pianist Elizabeth Wolff, you hear her playing it, and I call her the Queen of Soft because she's a virtuoso, but she's not afraid to play softly and delicately as well, and that is actually harder to do than to play loud. So I really wrote this piece or these set of pieces to remember that experience and the sense of wonder. And that kind of form is kind of harkens back to Prokofiev, who wrote a bunch of Vision Fugitive, excuse my French. But, you know, they're short, 1-3 minute pieces that are just brief moments in time. And there's actually a video of this one on my website that's a very dreamlike video by my friend Roxanne Ray. So it's easy to find. It's my name, DeborahKComposer.com, and there are a few videos there.
Okay.
So,
so basically, you're composing, but not necessarily playing an instrument.
On the CD, I don't play an instrument. Piano is my instrument, but I got more interested in composing really than performing, and I still perform every now and then. But also, it was a real learning for me to hand my score to another musician and see how they would interpret it. You know, so it gave me has given me a chance to refine the notation. You know, it's such a detail oriented thing when you get down to it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So let me ask you about this Manhattan club you have there, this New York Composers.
Oh, the New York Composers Circle.
Yeah.
It's a great group. It started about over 10 years ago now, and it came out of at that time it was the American Music Center. They had a workshop, Business Basics for Composers. We're just in a more entrepreneurial time. And they were telling us how we had to, you know, be ambassadors for our music. So one of the men there stood up and said, why don't we have this group? If anyone's interested, sign up. We can meet at my apartment. Maybe we'll put on concerts. And it kind of grew from there. But the funny thing, since it's Women's History Month, I was thinking the same thing, but he raised his hand and he did it. So it's just an interesting footnote. But in the end, after 1 year, he asked me if I would take the reins. So I led the group for about 3 years, which was a great learning for me in leadership, and I really enjoyed it. And, you know, it's gone from there. We give performances 3 or 4 times a year, and there's a sense of camaraderie amongst the composers. It's really a volunteer, you know, working together to get things done. So I think it's a great group.
So, for instance, I had noticed, like, because I was also looking to interview, coincidentally, let me get the eyes.
right.
Lynn Beckholt.
Oh, she's great. Yeah. Well, you know, she's on this, and we've worked a lot together. Just has a CD out also, a wonderful CD, with her one of her collaborators, Jennifer DeVore.
So I thought, perfect. I'll use this one.
Yeah.
I used one of the songs to, you know, to put her into this, too. So
right.
the compositions are basically classical?
I have a classical background, and I also studied jazz piano and Dalcroze Eurythmics, which I don't know if you know anything about that. Most people don't. But it's a form of music education where you learn through, you know, music and movement. So you have an experience first, and then you analyze. But anyway, this idea of movement and music has influenced my works in terms of a sense of momentum and flow, and how to get that. And I don't know, the album made the top 100 CDs of 2014 on this esteemed writer Ted Jiao on his list. It was number 37, along with people I've heard of, which was kind of exciting. And what did you ask me? I've drifted. Where were we?
I was asking.
Oh, it was a classical. Okay.
So there were
a lot of jazz people in that collection. So some people are considering it a bit of crossover. So, you know, there are funky rhythms sometimes or dance-like rhythms. One piece ends in a bossa nova. So it's a detailed classical language, but it goes into, it's melodic and rhythmic and, you know, very varied, I think.
But in terms of the all the women of the group, are they basically, is it a lot of classical?
Oh, are you talking about the New York Composers Circle or
yeah.
the people I've collaborated with on this CD?
No, the circle.
Okay. Well, that is not a women's group, but there is the that's mainly classical, but now we're starting to put on jazz concerts as well. So, you know, people, it's a time when there's less, even amongst musicians, less dichotomy between the various kinds of music, more blending of styles within, you know, any one piece often. And, you know, jazz is now considered chamber music. So at the Chamber Music America Conference, they have, you know, their jazz players are represented now. So it's kind of America's classical music, to quote a phrase of WBGO.
So approximately how many, like, women are in this group?
Well, unfortunately, see, in the New York Composer Circle, there aren't that many, but there are some. I'd say maybe a quarter or a third of the members are women. But then there's also the wonderful group, the New York Women Composers.
That's the one I mean.
Yeah, yeah. And is that how you found me?
Yes.
Yes, okay. It's a great group, and the person who's been really helping making it so great is the composer herself, Rayne Worthington. And since she kind of started doing the outreach, people, you know, the site gets a lot more visitors. So, you know, I've had performances through that site, and it's an important group. And it just started in the 1980s. So, you know, there's been a need.
Yeah, I think so, because I wonder if, like, in terms of recognizable tunes, if you want to call it,
mm-hmm.
are there any classical pieces done that women have composed where you would say, you know, that you would go to a concert and then you go, oh, wait a minute, I recognize that tune from a commercial or a cartoon.
Right. That's an interesting question, yeah. Well, you know, I can't think of any example of that, actually, which is kind of telling.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are some famous women composers now, and really more in our time now, in the past 20 years or whatever. But they've been out there, you know, since the beginning, and a lot of it happened through, you know, having musical families, you know, and music was done in the home. So, you know, some of them ended up composing and maybe hearing it in a house concert, you know, but public performances were rare for women. And even someone like Clara Schumann, who's Robert Schumann's wife, a wonderful musician in her own right, and really, I don't believe she had any or very few public performances. And some of this music, you know, maybe has not ever been heard. I mean, it's a great topic for a grad student.
we have to find, that's an idea.
Yeah.
I'm going to reach out as an internship for my newspaper.
Oh.
To a grad student and say, here, I need a piece on this.
Yeah, yeah.
See if you could do it.
Yeah, someone could do a dissertation. I mean, people are starting to collect and archive this information now. I mean, even on Wikipedia, there are lists that go back, you know, through the centuries of women composers and lists of their works. And then you look at the number of performances, and it's like 1, 2, 3, maybe, you know, or none.
Right.
And, so, I mean, things like women's festivals and Women's History Month, they're important. So it's not just to be separate, but it's, you know, it's not the idea of being segregated, but it's kind of the idea of catching up with even the number of performances one gets and the recognition and visibility for the music.
Yeah, I was actually asking, do you know Yeo Chin Ma?
Yeo Chin Ma?
Yeo Chin Ma?
No.
Well, actually, she's the sister of Yo-Yo Ma.
Oh, okay. See?
And she's a violinist. She's a concert violinist, amongst other things, and she also runs a little orchestra. And I had interviewed her, so I was emailing her and asking her, and she did come up with some names, but she, you know, and then sent me this long list.
Of women composers.
Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, well, does anybody like have a tune that you've heard? And she said that she doesn't know offhand.
Right. Right. Yeah. See.
Well, she doesn't know. I don't know who else is gonna.
Right.
You know. So
interesting question. Yeah.
Yeah,
well, keep asking. Maybe someone will know. Everyone you meet, you can.
Yeah, it's just that I want to, like, when I go to when I've gone to a classical concert or I'm sending people a classical concert, they're, you know, when they're listening to the tunes, they go, oh, I heard of that tune.
Right.
And so I keep thinking, well, is there a tune that they've ever heard because a woman composed the song?
Well, I don't know if we're going to find that in our lifetimes.
Well,
but,
unless somehow, let's say, you compose a song and the tune gets on, you know, the background of a TV.
Right. Well, you know, I'm sure, yes, it must be for film composers. You know, there are women film composers and things like that. And so, you know, it's more of a, you have to kind of look for those, that kind of information, you know, so you might know the tune without knowing who wrote it. Which, for me and my ambitions for my music, I'd be happy for that.
Well, at least I'll have you on my radio show. I could keep playing.
There you go.
Music.
No, I mean, my music is going out there. It's really been an exciting year for me. So.
Okay. Let's. You know what? How about
something completely different.
Yeah. How about? Well, I have another short piece that I put on. Duckling Dance.
Yes, and there's a video of that one too.
Okay.
On my website.
Let's hear Duckling Dance.
Okay.
Thank you.
as I'm listening to this, I'm picturing either done to like some like a silent movie, like somebody comes and plays it. You know, they're having a silent movie concert.
Mm-hmm. Right,
know.
Right.
Or that, or a cartoon.
Yeah. Well, I think you're onto something. I always imagined this as a cartoon, and now there's an animation of it, of this piece. So it actually began as a theater piece of The Ugly Duckling, and so it was the opening dance that they did. So it is very cartoon-like, or some people have thought that it could be a ballet in its way.
Oh, that way? Wait a minute.
Yeah.
A children's ballet.
Wouldn't that be great? I have about an hour of music from the show of The Ugly Duckling, and I really put this together as a trio, you know, a piano, violin, cello, so that, you know, to try to get that music heard more. And I may be adding to this trio, and I would love for it to be a ballet or a feature of The Ugly Duckling. I mean, it's a great story and timely in its way.
Okay. Me thinks a lot, as I say, because I have thoughts all the time, you know, especially with, okay.
Yeah. Sounds like a good one.
Okay, because I'm thinking, for instance, and you should Google her name.
Okay.
Yo Chang has a children's orchestra. She runs a children's orchestra.
Right. Is this the Children's Orchestra Society? Okay, anyway,
yeah.
I'll look it up.
Yeah, check it out.
Okay. Yeah.
That could be a possibility.
Yeah.
You know,
well, I appreciate that.
You know? Yes, that's a. Okay. I'm going to jot this down. Call Yo. Okay.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Appreciate that.
Yeah, because I love to network. That's my thing.
Great.
So,
I do too.
In terms of. Now, I guess we missed that concert that was going on, right? The event? Because that was special for Women's International Day.
Oh, we had, so it's Women's History Month. I had more than usual number of performances because of that. So I was at the Women's Composers Festival of Hartford and had a piece there. And then Lynn Bechtold, and in her duo with Miyui Takeda, played one of the pieces, a duo from this album, at Spectrum in New York City. And then March 15th. Yeah. So.
Okay. So is anything coming up that you could share with us?
Oh, well, there is one in Chicago on tomorrow, but I guess none of us are going to get on the plane to go. And after that,
in Chicago.
Well, people in Chicago may go. Oh boy, do I have the information here? Well, they want,
we're on the internet.
Yes, so we are on the internet.
I try to remember that like, no, it doesn't have to happen in Queens or even in New York City.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I'm in my studio, so yeah, it's good to remember the world out there. Well, maybe I can kind of multitask and find the address. Okay, well, it's the Opus 3 Piano Trio in, it's the Friends of Music concert in Forest Park, Illinois. And maybe we can talk about something else while I multitask.
That's funny that I keep forgetting because this was in. Is this in Chicago? Forest
well, it's
Park?
Outside. It's probably a suburb of Chicago.
It's funny because I live across the street from Forest Park.
Oh, really? That's very funny.
Which is a New York City park.
Right. That's great. Okay, it's at St. John's, St. John's Church, St. John Lutheran.
Mm-hmm.
And shall I give the address or
the
phone
number? Whatever you want.
Okay, it's at 305 Circle Avenue, very easy to remember, 305 Circle Avenue, Forest Park, and St. John Lutheran Church. You can find it on the Internet,
okay.
Friends of Music. So I have the phone number. It's 708-366-3226.
Okay.
So.
Well, good. I'm glad we can do this.
Thank you so much. So nice to talk to you.
So what I'm going to do is, let's see. Well, I have a guest that's calling in, and so what I'm going to do is, no, these are a little lengthy. Okay. I'll play a little bit. Yeah, I'll play a little bit.
Play the music going out.
And so it begins.
Okay.
Until my guest calls in. How's that?
That sounds great. Thank you so much.
Okay. Have an absolutely wonderful day, and thank you so much.
Thank you so much. So, if they want to hear the music, can I just say my website?
Yes,
and people can find me if they want. So the website is Deborah K. Composer. .com. So it's Deborah, D-E-B-R-A, and then my last name, K, like Danny K, K-A-Y-E, Deborah K.
No
Composer.
Relation.
.com. No relation, unfortunately.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you so much. Take
You're
care
welcome.
Now.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Oh, yes. Okay. So let's do that. Here we go. This is And So It Begins, and we'll hear a little of that. You know what I'm going to do now? Since Spencer Day will be coming on, let's play something. I got to find it. Spencer Day. Okay. So this way we can hear. We'll hear. Wait till I get you alone.
My love is blind, baby, I got my sights on you. Been in a daze since the day that you came in view. I'm dizzy thinking about the things I wanna do. What's your name? Come and play. You ain't a saint, it's okay, I'm no Romeo. And this ain't my only time at the rodeo. We could be electric and I know you know what I mean. What I mean. Beautiful baby. drive me crazy. Honey, tonight I'm taking you home. Wait till I get you alone. 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 I like the way that you sway, how you move your hips. You shut the door and I'm sure we can come to grips. Show me what you're hiding in your bag of tricks. Don't be shy, I'm your guy. I get a rise, no surprise every time we meet. And I applaud when you walk down the crowded street. Babe, you got me burning up, I like the heat. Come to me, set me free. Beautiful baby, you drive me crazy. Honey, tonight I'm taking you home. Wait till I get you alone.
Wait till I get you alone.
Wait till I get you alone.
Wait till
I get you alone. The chemistry, you and me, baby, what's it gonna be? You and me, can you feel the chemistry? You and me, baby, what's it gonna be?
Love the way you're moving your body.
Can you feel the chemistry?
Tell me,
you and me, baby, what's it gonna be?
Lean on
you and me, can you feel the chemistry? Beautiful baby. Drive me crazy, honey, tonight I'm taking you home. Wait till I get you alone.
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 So, Spence, were you singing along with it?
In my mind, I was. I've got a little bit of a hoarse voice today, so I was not singing out loud, which is good.
Okay.
That's always the time someone starts listening to me without me realizing it.
Okay. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
No, just fine. So, all right. So just so we're clear, you know, when you're doing this show, the Frank Sinatra, the, you know, style. So are you, you don't look or sing like him? You're not going around impersonating him?
Well, no. I mean, I don't think I look. I mean, occasionally I've had people I think say I sound like him. I don't really think we sound alike, but there's not a lot of baritones in pop music. So I think when I do get Michael Bublé or Harry Connick Jr. Comparison, I think it might be coming more from that. But I think that for me, I think it's greater to come to these Sinatra songs when you're not, you know, when you're not doing an impersonation, because he's kind of unimpersonable in my view.
When
is that a word? I don't know.
at the concert you're doing, are you going to be singing songs that he's famous for singing?
Well, I'll be doing a lot of my originals. We have a fantastic horn section thanks to the Queen's symphony. So I'll be doing a lot of my songs that are inspired by it, and then we'll be doing, I think, about four or five Frank Sinatra tunes.
Okay.
Kind of in homage to him.
Oh, okay. Because I want to get across that you're a jazz singer as opposed to being the jazz singer.
Well, yeah. I mean, I even think of myself more as a singer-songwriter that is heavily jazz influenced. And I think that's why it's been great to actually come to some of these Frank Sinatra songs and be able to do them here in New York, because I think for a long time I really avoided listening to Frank Sinatra, because when you're younger, if you do anything that's kind of in the jazz genre, you're immediately compared to him. And so when I was younger, actually, I used to listen to a lot more Chet Baker and Julie London and kind of, you know, female singers from the 1950s. And it's only been recently, actually, that I've been able to really rediscover Frank Sinatra and appreciate him, because he's such a part of our culture. Sometimes you have to be able to take a step back to really appreciate how amazing someone was.
Now, the songs, for instance, I loaded up some, these are the songs from your latest CD that I put out here to play. Are these songs ones that you composed as well? So wait till I get you alone. You composed.
Yes.
Oh, how about okay? Because I have. Oh, later I'll play "Missing Tonight" and "Don't Let Me In."
Yes, those are both mine too. I think with that latest record I did will be a little bit different sound wise from what we'll be doing, because we're going to really embrace the Sinatra aesthetic for the show in Queens. For the last record I did, The Daybreak, I really wanted to try to capture an early 60s sound, because I'm such a fan of that era of music as well. So that was kind of the specific angle for that project. But I've been very blessed. I've been a full-time songwriter for myself as well as for other people for about 12 years now, I think.
Oh, so... and in terms of the compositions, like how many have you composed yourself?
Oh, hundreds, I think. I've put out 5 records, and this recent one I just did was the only one out of those for a while that's had any covers on it. So there's 5 originals and 5 covers, but and I'm actually working on a new album of all original stuff that will be coming out this upcoming year.
Oh, okay. And in terms of the, so with the other recordings, is there other, who, that are not yours, that are, you know, if you're singing somebody else's, is other than, you know, Frank Sinatra that you sing?
Oh, in the show?
Well, no, not necessarily in the show, just when you're out there performing.
Oh, or yeah, I think part of my artistic goal is to really, I want to introduce some of my younger fans to the Great American Songbook, and songs that maybe they wouldn't have heard otherwise. And at the same time, I really want to also have people reexamine what the Great American Songbook is, because I think that there's new songs that are being added to that canon all the time. And so that's why I love to reimagine songs. It could be, you know, a Depeche Mode song from the 80s and do it as a bossa nova, or a Peter and Gordon song, which I did on the last record, and really pare that down just so you can appreciate that good melody and lyric writing has been going on, you know, for since the dawn of time. And I love doing that. The only thing I really look for is when I'm going to do a cover, I try to make sure there's something I feel I can say or do with it that I haven't seen done as well. Because, you know, a lot of times, it's, you know, Ella Fitzgerald or Frank Sinatra, they've done it so well in their way, it's hard to think of how you could put your own stamp on it. And that's something I really try to look for when I pick a cover.
Now, how did this come up for you to be performing in Queens, by the way?
Daniel DeLoma actually contacted my team and asked if we would like to do it. And I'm, you know, I still am hanging on to my New York place. I actually just moved from L.A. to San Diego. So for me, I have the best of both worlds, because I'm working on a few musical projects in New York this summer. So I get to go between San Diego and New York, which for me is the dream commute, you know, because they're in both in their own way two of my favorite places in the country. And they just told me about the project, and I said I would be really interested in doing it. And it looks like I'm going to be also doing something, a few things with them this summer as well. But I think that they contacted my team. I'm not sure actually initially how they heard about me, but I'm glad that they did.
Yeah, I'll have to ask them, because I'm always curious how they, you know, how they decide to pick somebody who's, let's say, a New Yorker, you know, to perform, or just, you know, how they choose even the concerts themselves, how they're going to decide on, you know, what's being done. And I'm hoping you have a great show. And, you know, I'd like to I'm going to play a portion of another song. How about Missing Tonight? How's that?
That sounds great.
Okay, so let's hear some of it.
And the world going crazy, and life's too much to bear. Baby, you got my number. You call me and I'll be there. We'll sneak out the back door and slip right out of sight. And we're gonna miss it. Let's go missing tonight.
Let me take you away.
Like two leaves on the water, floating aimlessly. We'll be drifting and
dreaming,
easy going and free. With a touch and a whisper, and when the moment's right, we're gonna miss him. Let's go miss him tonight.
Oh, we both
victims of the same distraction, fugitive in search of passion. Running away, yeah.
Oh, but I know
we could be the perfect lover, slipping underneath the covers, held in the sway until break of day.
Okay, so let me ask you, when you're composing, by the way, that was so cool. That's a cool song.
Oh, thank you.
When you're composing, are you playing an instrument?
Yeah, I play piano. I play a little bit of guitar. I'm not a good guitar player, which sometimes when you're composing actually can work in your benefit to get off of the instrument you're most familiar with. But usually I'm at the piano. Sometimes I'll actually work in a program called Logic, and I'll make some different beats and create a percussion track and sing over that too. I try to really mix up how I write, because every instrument or way of writing can inspire you in a different way. But I'd say 85% of the time I'm at the piano.
Oh, okay. So when you say your team, what's your team? You have a team. Team meaning the people who bet.
Yeah, just Marvin and Shannon. I've been independent for the last year. I'm still on great terms with Concord Records, who I've put out several records with. But the last record we put out independently, and so we've just hired a team, a fantastic, scrappy but fantastic group of people who are helping me manage the business and getting out there and. Still making music, which has been great. So I think that when I said team, that's probably who I was referring to, Marvin and Shannon.
Oh, okay. Now I just wondered, like, if you had that, you know, some backup band or something like that.
Oh, I do have a band. I'll be bringing my own rhythm section. So the Queens will be using the horn section for the Queen Symphony, but then I'll be bringing my bass, drum, guitar, and piano.
Oh, okay. So that's how, that's in terms of the Queen Symphony Orchestra, that's like, there's just going to be, like, did they say how many people, how many members?
I think that altogether, I think there's going to be 10.
Okay.
But I don't want to. Don't quote me on that because I.
Okay.
To check with Daniel and make sure.
No, just to get to get an idea and the 10 people. So so in other words, you're not going to be. We're not going to hear like you have the CD in the background. It's going to be the orchestra that's going to do the background music while you sing.
Yes, yeah, yeah. There's not just me singing to a track for sure. We'll definitely all be live. And one thing that I love about doing so many different kinds of gigs is every time you do it, it's a little different. You know, there'll be a different sonic experience. The arrangements can be different, and I'm really excited for that too, because it always keeps you on your toes, and it keeps it exciting for fans who have seen you do lots of stuff, because they know that every time they're going to come see you, they're going to get to see something they may not have seen before.
So, for instance, now when this, like, how soon do you have to come in to rehearse with them, or do you? They just pick it up and do it?
Well, the charts and arrangements are very good, but I'm coming in a few days before, so I can do. I'm going to do one rehearsal just with the rhythm section, and then we'll do another one with the band, the full band.
Oh, okay. So in other words, you're basically going to be, because some of it is your compositions, or like that you're going to be giving them the compositions for them to play the background.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Yes. We've got some great arrangements. Few that I've worked with a fantastic film composer here in LA named Jeremy Levy. And he's helped me take some of my original versions and then do some very great Quincy Jones-inspired arrangements of some of my original songs.
Oh, okay. So it's not a matter of, like, here, I'm going to sing the song and you can figure it out. In other words, you're bringing the arrangements.
Yeah. So, I mean, I always like an element of improvisation because I want each person to make it their own. But I think sometimes when you're just flying in and doing a show, you've got to have everything pretty clearly spelled out so that, you know, you're not expecting someone to just wing it when they've never heard a song before.
Okay. So it's not like, because like when you're listening to your CD, you're not hearing a lot of orchestration in the background. So I'm guessing there'll be a lot more orchestration than what I'm hearing. Am I correct?
Yeah, for this record, which I'm really excited about, because some of those songs, like, The two that you just played actually have really great horn arrangements now, and it kind of puts them in a whole different context. It makes them, you know, kind of jazzier, I guess, too, but it also makes it a little brassier and more up tempo, which is nice as well.
Good. I'm looking forward to going to the show.
Well, me too. I guess they have a waiting list already. It's a good problem to have. I guess it's been, I don't say sold out because I know it's a free show. It's a free show. But
that's what I'm getting with it, is that you have to still have to make reservations, even though they're free, you know, because you can't just pop in, you know, because there'll be too many people. But
I think it's a great thing that they're doing for the community to put on these shows, so I'm really thrilled to be a part of it for that reason.
Yeah, what I'm going to look to see is whether, I'll just kind of ask around, like, will there be just the local people, or will people come from, let's say, other parts of Queens because they can come to a free concert and hear this particular concert?
I have a few people... who are fans
of
mine who live in Manhattan who I know are, I guess they found out about it somehow, and they got there too. So I know there'll at least be a couple of people from other boroughs there.
Oh, okay. Good. Because this is what's going, I'm not sure if you know what this is, the whole idea. This is a councilman's idea. It's a local councilman, Eric Ulrich, that decided to do this. And so all of the places that these concerts are being given are in his district. different areas of his district. So that's, you know, that's why I'm interested to see, even though, let's say, okay, I live in Woodhaven, so I went to the one in Woodhaven, didn't matter. I'm sure people from other parts of Queens or even outside of Queens came to the show, too. So it would be, that's what I would be looking to see is how local it got, or maybe the people in Howard Beach said, I could pop in, no problem. And then they get there, and it's all sold out.
Oh, I hope they can still get in. I think, especially in a lot of places, because having lived in New York, and you know, too, I think for the outer boroughs, so much of the time, if you want to do anything culturally, you have to be heading into the city. And so I think that this is another really great thing for the local community to be bringing music out to them. So I hope that the local people, more than anyone, are able to get in, because I know that's you know, something that doesn't happen quite as often, where you can have the culture come to your doorstep as opposed
right.
to, you know, taking the train or a cab into the city to see it.
Yes, that's true. That's what I'm looking for. But fortunately, it's going to be, I think this is going all the way on till the end of June with these, and I guess they're calling them salon concerts. And then there'll be some where I understand you'll have the full orchestra going to be there.
Yes, I think in July I'm doing something with the full orchestra, which I'm really looking forward to.
Oh, are you going to be in the park?
Yeah, I'm going to be in the park. Is that Central Park? I can't remember.
No, are you going to be in Forest Park at the band show?
I think so. I'm playing one in July. We just confirmed it. I don't have the date with me, but I'm pretty sure I'll be there with the full orchestra at some point in July.
Okay, I'll take a look, because I think that might be the, I'm not sure whether it's Forest Park, if it's Forest Park, and then I just have to cross the street to see it. Well, this is, when they do this, because, do you know who Melinda Katz is?
That sounds familiar. I'm not sure if I do or not.
Okay, Melinda Katz is the borough president of Queens, and this is part of her idea, you know, as well, because her father, David Katz, is the one who formed the Queen Symphony Orchestra.
Oh, yes, I do. Yeah, I did know that. Yeah, that's great.
So she might be at the, like, you know, the concert in the park when you're there, because that's something typical. And then most likely she'll sing the Star Spangled Banner for us. That's her thing. Well, God Bless
oh,
America. One of the other.
Yeah, well, they're both not easy songs to sing, so I'm glad.
No.
As long as it's good, because that means I don't have to, which is great. So I've sung it at many baseball games and stuff, and it's always harder than you think it's going to be, I find.
I got to tell you something very funny. I was working with the women's tackle football team here in New York, and I made the mistake of saying to them years ago, I'll do anything I can for you guys, you know, in terms of publicity or whatever. And one of them took me literally. And then one day I get there to the game, and she says, I need you to sing the Star Spangled Banner. And I'm going, oh, my God, no. It's like, to me, that was always like the worst nightmare in my brain, because there's no accompaniment. And then
No. There's
the, what note do I begin so I hit the high note? And am I going to sing it every single note perfectly? Otherwise, I'll embarrass myself if I don't. So it got to be, but it got to be a running joke, because then I would, like, get a call 11:30 at night, and all I would have to do is hear Merle, and I'd go, oh, no, you want me to sing the Star Spangled Banner tomorrow, don't you? But I had to sit and analyze it. And you know what I don't think every people realize. Everybody thinks that the highest note is when you sing free. Do you know that this?
Yeah, land of the free and the rocky
right.
glare. Yeah, that's the same note too.
Glare, yes, glare and free are the same note. And to analyze it, I said, okay, so what's the difference? And the difference is that glare is an open tone.
Oh, singing a high E is like, that's why that song is so hard to sing, is when you get that note.
Because it's a closed tone. So
yeah, it's not, that's what makes that song so hard, exactly.
But that's when you get to cheat a little. If you go like free,
yeah, that's
free. If you start with fry, then you can get it.
You'll hear a lot of rock singers and songs do that, where they say like may instead of me for that reason. It's because me is just any E thing is, it's,
yeah.
You, once you get high, it's not. Not a fun one.
yeah. But anyway, so, well, listen, it's good to have had you on the show, and I'm certainly looking forward to going there. They already set me up. I do have tickets. Thank God.
Oh, fantastic. Well,
I'll be taking photos, too.
Oh, great. Well, please come up and say hello afterwards so I get to meet you in person.
I certainly will, and maybe I'll even I'll bring the CD and have you sign it. How's that?
You got it.
This way I can say, it's for real, okay? Here, say his name's on it. Well, have a great day.
Awesome. Thank you. You too, Merle. It was a pleasure.
Take care.
Bye. Talk to you soon. Bye.
Okay, so that was Spencer Day, and... Well, I'm going to end the episode now because I got to play my music. Here we go. Music intro. So, everybody, have a great day, evening, or morning, or whatever. M-U-M-M. I got to click that. Here we are. Chickens are asleep.